Can't wait for everybody.
So, who remembers Pascal's triangle?
Yes,
binomial theorem.
Okay. The cool thing is that the binomial theorem works for fractional powers too. It even works for irrational powers, like the pi power.
All right.
Okay. Now, for our purposes, it's easier to focus on the binomial theorem where one of the terms of the binomial is 1. Because you can always factor out a term anyway. You have A plus B, you factor out the A, and you've got 1 plus B over A. So there's really not much generality lost. Pascal's triangle. The name of it is usually the binomial theorem, but the pattern is often shown in the triangle. Now there's more than that. More than one way to compute the coefficients. There's a recursive formula that says, you know, like, oh, to get that 6, you just look up and up and to the left, and these add to 6. Like the 3 and the 1 add to the 4. The 4 and the 6 add to 10, and so on. Here, like the 4 and the 1, you put the 1s here. Explicit. 4 and the 1 add to a 5. But there's a... If you don't want to have to compute all the higher coefficients of the triangle, you know, like to get this 10, you have to know the 4 and the 6. To know the 4 and the 6, you have to know the 1, 3, 3. To know the 1, 3, 3, you have to know the 1, 2, 1, and the 1, 1. So you have to do a whole bunch of numbers before you can actually get to that 10, if you're doing the addition rule for it. A better rule for computing arbitrary ones, arbitrary numbers on this table of coefficients, involves multiplication instead of addition. So there's a simple pattern to this in terms of multiplication. And you can check, like here at 5, 5 times 5 minus 1. 5 times 4 divided by 2 is 10. Then the next one is...
What value did you put in the example of n? 5 or 4?
5 times 4 divided by 2 is 10. 5 times 4 times 3 divided by 6 is also 10.
But we don't know what x is?
These formulas are valid for all numbers x.
Huh.
So x is whatever you want.
All right.
Five times four times three times two divided by 24 does work out to 5. Yeah. Now this one goes on. How far does it go? Well, I mean, all of these, they seem to end on a 1, right?
Yeah.
If you follow this all the way out to the end, you'll have the n minus n minus 1, n minus 2, n minus 3, eventually you'll get down to something where it's n minus n minus 1, which is 1, right? And that's the end of the line here. And now if you look at this, you have the number 1, and then if you go backwards this way, you'll have all the numbers 1 through n multiplied together. So this is n factorial. So the final coefficient really will be a 1. Now, you can write down, an expression then for the general term. So people like to use the binomial coefficient notation. So let's have my index be, say, k equals 0 to n, right? Zeroth power of x. First power of x, second power of x. So it actually looks like this. I guess there's a special case. What do you mean at 0? Well, by definition, you mean 1. This is kind of arbitrary, but it makes sense. In terms of keeping the pattern, but if it's not 0, then you have one way to write it very compactly is in product notation like this. It's like sigma notation, but you multiply instead of add. So it looks like...
Is that pi, or what is that to me?
It's a big capital pi.
Okay.
Just like this is a big capital sigma.
Okay.
But it just means multiply all these terms together from n equals 1 to k.
Okay.
And in the end, it'll look like that. Okay. Which matches what we have here. Right? Like here, this is... This is often read 7 choose 4 because it also equals the number of 4-element subsets of a 7-element set. Okay, 7 choose 4. 7.
After the sigma, the nk, you divide n over k, or just n times k?
I've seen that one.
Why you don't do anything?
Say that again?
In the sigma, after, when you open the parentheses nk, are you dividing n over k?
No, there's no division here. This is just a totally new symbol, okay?
Okay.
There's no fraction bar, we're not dividing. And we're writing two numbers vertically stacked and putting these parentheses around them, and this is what we mean.
That is a notation. What's the name of that notation?
Binomial coefficient.
Binomial coefficient.
Yeah.
So the n over k thing just signifies all of that.
Yeah. So like, so this you should read this as 7 choose 4. 7 choose 4 is the fraction 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 divided by 1 times 2 times 3 times 4.
Yeah.
So you the denominators go up. You're counting up in your denominators and you multiply them together. Your numerators, you count down.
It's because it seems that you're dividing n over k. Because as you show us, you're dividing n minus 0 over 1 times n minus 1 over 2 times n minus 2 over 3. That's what I was asking. But I get it now.
Okay. Here's another.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, for our purposes, what we're interested in is what happens if you have, instead of a natural number power, you have some other kind of power. What if it was a negative power? Or a fractional power? Or an irrational power? The amazing thing is, the formula is still valid. You just have to go on forever. Instead of stopping at n, you go on to infinity. Now, what would happen if you went on to infinity there? As soon as you get to plugging in an n, as soon as m here reaches n plus 1, you get a factor where the numerator is 0. Because if you plug in n plus 1 for this m, this becomes n in parentheses, n minus n is 0.
Like 7 minus times 8 minus 1.
Yeah. So yeah, this phenomenon. So as soon as you get to this, you'll have 0 factors, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you could actually interpret this is actually being a sum that goes to infinity. It's just that after a finite number of stages, it's all 0. But if the n is not a natural number, then when you look at this bottom number here, the k is a natural number, so you'll never hit n plus 1 on the bottom exactly unless n is a natural number. Okay. So most natural thing to consider this. Okay. Now, there's a little problem in that this series might not converge, depending on your x. If x is smaller than 1 in size, I can prove the series converges. And the way to prove it is similar to and how we prove things for exponential series or cosine series. Because there's a factorial and then a similar thing of you multiplying by more and more numbers, the way to prove that sort of thing is with a ratio test. Okay? So I guess, I'm not going to try and prove why does it converge to this thing, but why doesn't the series converge for all x? Right? Okay, so that I think the ratio test can definitely shine some light on that question. Okay. Okay. So we take. Take the k plus 1 term, so 1 half choose k plus 1, x to the k plus 1, and then we divide it by the kth term. Okay. Take the absolute value, and we want to take the limit as k goes to infinity. Okay. I guess normally I write an n here, but it doesn't matter if we use a different letter K. Okay, so there's a ton of cancellation. What's going on? We have 1 half minus 0 over 1 times 1 half minus 1 over 2 times 1 half minus 2 over 3 times a whole bunch of stuff until we get all the way to 1/2. And then remember the rule here. We multiply all the way out to your top part, your top term, the end of this one, which will be a 1/2 for us over there, minus k minus 1, where k is the bottom thing. Now here, the bottom thing is k plus 1. So it'll be k plus 1 minus 1, which is just k. And down here we go on k plus 1. Times x to the k plus 1. And then downstairs we have a whole bunch of stuff. It's mostly the same. So it'll cancel. Because it's all multiplication. So we don't get quite as far. All of these will cancel because all of these terms are in here, plus one more term. This just has one more factor. Right? And almost all those powers of x will cancel too. Okay, so there's an x that's not canceled. And then there's this thing that's not canceled. So let's see, simplifying it slightly. This.
Any questions on that?
How do you get the x, absolute value of x?
Well, I'm taking the absolute value of the whole thing. There's k plus 1 powers in the numerator, k in the denominator. So the one power in the numerator is not canceled. All the powers in the denominator are canceled.
Can you show me that?
If k is 10, then this is x to the 11 divided by x to the 10. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, what's 5 to the 11 divided by 5 to the 10th?
Just 5 over 1.
Yeah.
So it's the k plus 1, or it's the x to the k,
yeah, you gotta,
times x over x to the k, the x to the k cancels
with
the
other
x.
Yeah, you got it.
And then you're getting one left over?
Yeah. Okay. X to the k plus 1? Yeah.
That's the relevant rule here. So after you do the canceling, right? So it's going to be x to the k plus 1 minus k, or x to the 1, mm-hmm. which is x. All right. Now, what happens here? Divide by the fastest growing term in the denominator, right? Because we want to take a limit as k goes to infinity. Okay, so you get 1 over 2k minus 1 over 1 plus... Okay, see, I divided the numerator by k, divided the denominator by k.
Plus x. So the limit is x.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, yeah, the absolute, I mean, this is negative 1, but absolute it's inside absolute value bar.
So it's just 1, right?
Absolute value.
So that's the limit as negative 3. Okay. So, the ratio test says that if your ratios converge to some number, and that number is smaller than 1, right, magnitudes of ratios converge to a number smaller than 1, then your series converges absolutely. If the magnitudes of the ratios converge to a number bigger than 1, then your series diverges. Okay?
Just bigger?
Strictly.
Bigger.
Okay. Yeah.
So if it's 1, what happens?
That's kind of complicated. There was a student, she asked me about that last fall when I taught this course. And it's pretty tricky to figure out all the different cases. It depends on, you can figure it out. Depending on what power you put in here, the answer is different. And it took me a while, but I did this write up where I was figuring out all the different cases. So I can reuse that and I can post it to the webpage. But
there's always going to, whenever you have a power series where you've got, you know, like some powers of some x, if you pick the x just right, you can make the ratio test or the root test give you a 1, and it becomes inconclusive. So you have to use another test, maybe an integral test, maybe an alternating series test. So it becomes tricky because, you know, you have to, I mean, there's two cases you have to deal with. X is positive 1, X is negative 1. Each of those cases you have to figure out, okay, can I use an integral test? Can I use an alternating series test? It's going to be delicate.
And this is only for if it's like 1 plus X. Can it be like 3 plus X? Or will that change?
Well, the formulas over there is going to be more involved. Right, there would be a whole bunch of powers of 3 floating around. Okay, but you don't really lose generality because... you can factor out of 3. Okay. So that this is the standard approach that people take to this, is they they'll factor something out.
How do you get the x over 3?
I do some algebra in my head. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You can factor out of 3.
You can take out. Thank you. Let's see. All right. So I guess the good news is, you know. If x is smaller than 1, the series converges. And in fact it converges absolutely. The ratio test promises absolute convergence, not just convergence. Okay.
Now, since we're using the ratio test, this implies absolute convergence, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's what you said.
Yeah. The ratio
but
test.
If you were to use another test, would that be valid? I mean, I know it's the best test that you can use because it's a power.
Well, if every test has certain conditions.
Right.
If you meet these conditions, then you can use the test.
Okay.
And then you have to be able to conduct the test. You usually have to take some kind of limit or do some integral or something. And if you can compute that limit, assuming it even exists, or do that integral, or at least get some good enough estimate, then of course you can use whatever the test result says. In fact, you can actually prove that whenever the ratio test gives you a certain limit ratio R, the root test will also give you the same limit R. You can actually prove that. However, it might be a lot harder to figure out that R from the root test directly. Like in this example, you could do a root test and you would get the exact same thing in the end, absolute I of x, but figuring that out is a lot trickier. It's easier to just do the ratio. I made a sort of a Venn diagram with different types of tests, right? And I put the ratio test stuff inside root test stuff.
Very good. Closer.
Okay.
What do you do to move that k in the absolute value of x, and then you put 1/2 minus k, and then in the other one you put 1/2 k minus 1. And the same thing with the one at the bottom. K plus 1 and then.
I identify the fastest growing term in the numerator, and then I divide the numerator and the denominator by that term. So I divided the numerator by k, and then I divided the denominator by k. Since I divided both by the same thing, I don't actually change the fraction. No?
That's a very common trick for figuring out limits towards infinity. Find the fastest growing term in the numerator of a fraction, and then you cancel it out by that trick.
Are we at Taylor series yet?
No, but we're getting there. This is, I like to show some special cases before I do the general statement. So I'm not presenting things in the same order as the book is.
Okay.
The book gives this formula in section 10 of chapter 11. Yeah,
the book is mentioned by number 10.
So let's look at this case 1/2, right? What if we wanted to, let's say we wanted to estimate square root of, okay, give me a number, maybe a natural number.
5.
5? Okay, square root of 5. Okay. Okay. Let's estimate this. Now, first of all, you can't just do 1 plus 4, right? Because then your x is 4. Okay, that's no good. How about we find a square that's kind of close? Something like that.
A square?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about this? Yeah. Find a square that's a little bit smaller. Yeah? All right? Find a perfect square. It doesn't have to be a whole number. It could have been a fraction. Okay. So we have 1 and a fourth. So that's going to be our x. The 1/2 times 2. Okay, so. And so there's going to be this factor of 2 all around, but then we have our binomial theorem. See, I'll write it with an n this time.
It's infinity.
And it's going to infinity, so we're going to have coefficients like this. And then powers of a fourth.
How did you find the 5?
Hmm? What about the 5?
When you got radical 5 or 4?
I picked a perfect square that was a little bit smaller than 5.
Oh.
Okay. Now, I've just told you, okay, there's a formula that is supposed to, so I'm, in particular, this should equal exactly root 5 in the limit. But if we want an estimate, we need to stop at some point. We need to cut off the series somewhere and then do a remainder estimate, right? Now, the nice thing about you can use an alternating series test estimate, right? What happens is if x is positive, then eventually the series will start alternating and shrinking. Okay.
Okay.
let's see this in our particular case, okay? Leaving out that constant factor of 2 for the moment. Okay, so term 0 will just be 1 half choose 0. We always define that to be 1. And then the 0th power of 4th, which is also 1. So it always starts with a 1. Then we get a half minus 0, 1. So it's just going to be a half times a 4th to the 1 plus then the next term. Next coefficient. Okay, look here. 1 half minus 1, that's negative. Right? Here, the 1, a half, now you're going to have a negative number, right? And you should expect alternation, because if you look at the ratios that we got in the limit, without the absolute value signs, the limiting ratio would have been, for these coefficients, the ratio tends towards negative 1. So they are switching in sign. And let's continue this. So see, the first two terms were positive, but then they start alternating in sign. And you can probably see that they're shrinking too. In this particular example, they're shrinking right from the start. What do we got here? We got 1 plus a half times a 4th. It's an 8.
What you mean shrinking is the value units of the number are getting less and less?
I mean the numbers are getting closer to 0 on the number line. Right? Forgetting about the sign, their size is getting smaller.
Like
if I had a half, negative a third, positive a fourth, negative a fifth, positive a sixth, negative a seventh, positive an eighth, negative a ninth, positive a tenth, negative 11th, like in the alternating harmonic series, the sizes of the terms are getting smaller. They're getting closer to 0, even though the signs alternate, right?
Yeah.
When I talk about size, I just mean how far away is it from 0? How big is it? Forgetting whether there's a positive or negative sign in the front, right? Negative a million is much bigger than 5 in my book. Okay, it's a big number,
yes.
and it's a negative big number.
Uh-huh.
5 is not a big number. Anyways, okay. So here, what do we got? We got a half times minus a half divided by 2 divided by 16.
That is very fast.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah. It's gonna be
a half times a half, right?
Oh. A half times minus a half. So that's a 4th.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Then another, and then a 16th.
Yes.
All right. So that's 64.
That's
and then a 2. So I think it's 128. I did it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But half
the
other
and look at this one, half. Negative a half, negative 3 halves. Okay, so 2 negatives is going to be a positive. Right? And the 3 and that will cancel that 3. So the next term is going to be an eighth as big. Right? So you're actually going to get 1024 minus. And the next one, there would be another factor of a 4th. Right, because you'd have another. The next one would have a higher power of a 4th. There, it'd be the 4th power of a 4th. Right, and then you would also have the. See, this one was 3 halves over 3. The next one will be 5 halves, right, over 6, or over 4. Yeah, right. That would be the next factor.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And it would be a negative 5 halves. That's why I switched the sign.
Yeah.
right? Because 1 half minus 3 is negative 5 halves. 1 half minus 4 so, is negative 7 halves.
So it's following the alternating series, right?
Yeah, we can... So like the next term, you would have another factor of a fourth, and then a 7 halves over 5, right? And there would be... And the sign would flip again, right? And then the next term would be, you know, all of that stuff, right? But then we multiply by another fourth, right? Because we'd have another power of a fourth, and then we multiply by, see, a half minus five now? A half minus five, yeah. A half minus 5, a half minus 10 halves is negative 9 halves. So the sign flips again, and we get 9 halves, and then it's over 6.
Why the 1 fourth is repeating? Why the 1 fourth is repeating?
Because each term is a higher power of a fourth. So every time we go to the next term, I have to multiply by a fourth again, right?
Correct.
See, what's the difference between, I guess, what's the ratio between these two terms? To go from this term, I multiply by a fourth, and then I multiply by this fraction here. These things don't change, right? What changes is the power of a fourth goes up, and we get another fraction there, according to the pattern.
Oh, so you're just adding that 1/4 that you're getting left over, right?
Yeah. We just have to keep throwing in another factor of a fourth. Right? And you see what's happening. Look, each time we do this multiplication, you look at the stuff we're multiplying by, it's smaller than 1. And then this stuff is smaller than 1 as well. And this stuff is smaller than 1.
So
it is shrinking, okay? So
does this converge?
What?
Does this converge?
We know it converges by the ratio test. Because we're plugging in a fourth for the x, which is smaller than 1 in size.
Yep.
Okay.
So we're just getting this one here, right?
Yeah, so you can, as soon as you get to here, right, the first two terms are positive, but after that it's alternating in sign and shrinking. So if you stop early here, you'll get an overestimate.
How many times do we have to repeat the process? Like, because I know I see 1/4 to the first, second, third power, fourth, eighth power, we have to keep on.
It's totally arbitrary. It's all a question of how much accuracy do you want, right? We know in the limit it'll be exact. So
do we have a shortcut to apply the whole sum?
Well, I mean...
Because let's say I want to do 1/4 to the 10th power. I'm going to do the process 10 times. That's a long one.
Well, I mean, okay. Let's see here. How about I try and write some kind of formula that captures the pattern, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would have 1/4 to the k, right? If I'm at the kth term, times what? Let me simplify this pattern a little bit for you, okay? The denominators, right, are just the increasing sequence of natural numbers consecutive, right? So that will just be a 1 over k factorial. And then the numerators would be a half, negative a half, negative 3 halves, negative 5 halves, right? And if you're going out k, when k is 3, we have 3 terms there. And here you have 3 terms is 3, 4 terms is 5. You could cook up some formula for this.
Ugh. 0.01. Thank you. going to have like an error bound there, and you're overestimating like for 0.01. So it's 10 to the negative 2.
0.02.
So this is converging really fast, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean,
yes. So if we had stopped here, we have an underestimate, but we'd be less than a thousandth away from the true value. Okay, so that would be three decimal places for the for this thing. This is the square root of 5/4. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so if we went one further there. If we went out to here, we have an underestimate, and or sorry, if we
started with positive sign, it's an overestimate, right?
Yeah.
Thing. Okay. So your underestimate would be negative sign away.
There we go.
Yeah.
So there's.
Yeah. Okay. So here's an overestimate, and we know the error is smaller than this thing, which is.
0.00.
I'm not sure if this is smaller than 10 to the fourth or not yet. I mean, when you get to large terms, this is going to. I mean, each time you tack on another factor here, and that factor is getting closer and closer to one.
When did you write this in the book?
Why did I write what?
Yeah, the 1+4 to the k times the 1 over k.
Well, I was just trying to extrapolate what is the pattern, because Richard was asking if there was some kind of shortcut.
Yeah. Yeah, because
you can simplify this in various ways, right?
It's because let's say you wanna do it like 1/4 to the 10. That's a long one. You wanna be writing and writing the same process 10 times. So there should be a shorter way to do it.
You don't wanna
be writing the whole paper doing the 10 times the process.
Well, okay.
Really depends on the accuracy you need.
You can write it, if you use product notation, right, that will make life short and sweet, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Then I could collapse this whole thing here, right, into a product notation, right? If you're going to program it, you have to, what do you have here in the...
Yeah.
If you don't have product notation on your calculator, you could get it from sigma notation, using logarithms and exponentials, because the log of a product is the sum of the logarithms. And then you could take the exponential of the sum of a bunch of logarithms, and that would be the product of the things you could be taking logarithms of. So you could... It's not as simple as the other patterns you've seen. Right? So, if you don't have a program, what you want is a program that does the binomial coefficient for you, basically, right? Right? Because then we have a very simple, very short-looking formula right there, right? Otherwise, you might be doing some stuff by hand.
10 to the negative 6. Do you want us to express the series first and then use the alternating series, or
you should? I mean, you should factor out, like, if it's a cube root, you should factor out a perfect cube.
Yeah.
That's a little bit smaller. Okay.
So would you use like 8?
Well,
2 cube.
8 would be great for that one. For this one, not so good. It's bigger. How about a perfect cube fraction?
64 over 8.
Let's see, that's 8.
Oh no.
How about 27 over 8, maybe?
Because that would be
27 over 8.
That would be like 25 cube root, right? Difference.
Yes, it is 25 cube root, so you could
do something like that.
But if you just factor out the, you know, the cube of 3 halves. The cube of 3 halves is 27 over 8, which is more than 3.
Yes, 3.375.
So, if you factor out the 27 eighths, then you'll be left with something between 1 and 2. And you're trying to get the 2/3 power of that, you can do with the binomial series. Okay. So, I guess they have it. I guess the hint.
And unit class? Tell us foundation of engineering classes.
We didn't actually multiply by the 2. These are overestimates and underestimates for this. I have to multiply these by 2, you know, to get back. Multiply back by 2 and then join. A similar trick of finding a perfect fifth power, a little bit smaller than 7, should handle the third one.